This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We're almost there. We're hanging out. It's a beautiful morning. It's game week. The Buffalo Bills get ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday night. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer along the ride here from 10 to 12. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio in just about a half hour as the Bills get back on the practice field. We'll have our first injury report of the week a little bit later on in the afternoon. We'll get a word in on the Baltimore Ravens. Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner will join us at 11 a.m. But to kind of start today, a little bit of a vibe check. How are we feeling? It's the midpoint of the week. Some of us had a shorter work week due to Labor Day, so thank goodness for that. But now we're at the midpoint. As I mentioned, first injury reports. It's week one. The season starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow, continues Friday. We get a break from NFL football on Saturday, but not a break from football. The first weekend of college football was fantastic. I know you might have slightly different opinion on that.
I'm fine.
But
we move on.
Exactly. And here we are heading into Sunday. And I loved something that the morning show talked about, which was the perception around the team. The fact that I agree with Jeremy wholeheartedly that the Bills have fixed their perception. At the very least, they fixed the damage that the drought has caused in the past. They fixed it. That nobody thinks about that. The only time you'll get something about the drought is if you are hanging out with like five of your buddies in somebody's garage and somebody just goes, hey, remember Aaron Schobel? Like, that's the only way the drought gets brought up now. Mm-hmm. The Bills have undone the damage of the drought. And I do think that their perception is as one of the better teams in the NFL now. Again, the one thing that Joe brought up, though, was about nerves of... they got to get this done, though. At the end of the day, you do have to get it done. And I'm sitting here getting ready for Sunday, and I'm kicking my feet back. You want to know why? This isn't what I'd call a win-win scenario, but it's definitely not the worst week one matchup that you can get. Bills and Ravens, it is two of the top teams in the NFL on national television. say what happened in the regular season last year in week four happens again. And the Bills get stomped around in their primetime matchup against Baltimore. And it happens for the second time in 2 years. I could still turn around and go, everything's fine. Why? Because I could still reliably count on the Bills to get 12 wins in the year, the division. And if the AFC cannibalizes itself this year, you still have a somewhat realistic chance at the one seed no matter what happens in this game. Because you are who you are, you're in the division that it is. Feels weird, doesn't it? Being on the other side of that, already knowing that you should at least at minimum have four division wins. I'm going to give some respect to at least one of these random teams. But if you do anything less than four division wins this year, something has gone catastrophically wrong. It's simple to me to say, it's fine. Take the week for what it is, which is the first NFL game of the season, and don't get too low about this. It has to be something where, yeah, it would be incredibly frustrating if they don't win again. But as long as the Bills have Josh Allen playing the way that he does, I have full confidence that they're going to break through. And I'm not worried about calling anything a do-or-die year because I'm confident that it is going to happen anyway. Is that wrong? Maybe. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. And I know that that's not a common opinion, but I am perfectly fine with putting it out there that, yeah, I feel great.
I mean, I feel great. Don't get me wrong. And week one is also somewhat of a mirage for many teams. Like, you could dominate your week one opponent, opener, what have you. It's great. Everything's awesome. Look at the Saints last year. It wasn't even just week one. It was like the first month. They looked like an offensive wagon, just scoring over everybody. Everything looked so weak. And then they fell apart, right? Bears start 4-2. Cincinnati kind of regularly starts pretty bad, but can turn it around. And while it doesn't lead the playoffs the last 2 years, they start bad but really turn it on at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, Buffalo has lost some pretty stinkers, you know, in week one games. You lose to a bad Pittsburgh team. Zach Wilson starts as the Jets quarterback. Yeah. You almost lost to the Arizona Cardinals last year. Like, they haven't been – I mean, they're 4-2 in Josh Allen week one starts. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's also, funny enough, 4-2 in Lamar Jackson week one starts. So they're very equal in that sense. But they have not been the prettiest of games. Don't get me wrong. But on that point, like, for me, it's less of the I'm nervous it won't get done and week one won't change anything. It's, for me, it's just more I'm less nervous about week one as a complete and utter entity, where it's just it's getting the ball rolling. You want to win, and to be fair, and this will happen, I think, for anybody, if they go out there and they smoke the Ravens or they just beat them, I think most of us will be sitting here kind of in the same vein as the Rams opener from a few years ago, where, oh, man, this is a coronation. Here we go. They're doing this with a questionable secondary, a lot of new pieces on defense. Some guys who might be key contributors are suspended for the first 6 weeks. You know, like, they're doing all of this. This is great. This is amazing. Look how awesome we are. And sometimes that can be fool's gold, right? Like, I brought up the mirage. But I think for week one, it is just more we get the ball rolling. They can still absolutely be the one seed. It's not the nicest start to a season. You'd much rather it be the Saints, who they play in, what, week five? You know, I think Baltimore would probably say the same thing. They wish they were playing Cleveland and said Cincinnati's playing Cleveland. They both have to go through this, and both, fun enough, have the same issues. They both have that quote-unquote Kansas City problem, because you can argue Baltimore, who is 0-2 against Josh Allen and the Bills in the playoffs, have a Buffalo problem as well. But I think both teams would much rather start against a different opponent. We already know for the Ravens, Isaiah Likely, at least through reports, is going to be out this game. They've had other guys as well who picked up injuries that they maybe don't know are going to be able to play, Jair Alexander being one of them, Patrick Ricard, their fullback, who's pretty instrumental to their run game. It's not, you know, it's not end-all, be-all, I think, for either team. Most of us expect the 11-12 wins for either. I think the difference for me, and like you brought up, Derek, is the division. Baltimore does not have the easiest path to 5-1 in the division, 4-2 in the division. I mentioned Cincinnati. They're always a tough out for Baltimore. Pittsburgh is regularly a pretty tough out for Baltimore. Those games are really aggressive, where for the Bills, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker for the Jets, Looks to be out for a long period of time after picking, I believe, an arm injury that he's going to have surgery. I think I saw the report from Diana Rossini. New England is a complete and utter unknown. Most people like them. They think they're better, but they were atrocious last year. So how much really is better? And then the Dolphins seem to be completely going in the wrong direction. They are not in any kind of way good vibes, good feelings around them. I think that's a big part of it for me is just – and I've mentioned it. Like I've been preaching patience. A lot of that has come from the injuries they picked up in the offseason. Bishop has missed some time in training camp. Max Harrison missed almost all of training camp and will miss at least the first 4 weeks. That's not ideal. So the expectation is the defense will not be what it's going to be in October, let alone December. And so that's where for me is I'm not going to be freaking out if the run defense or the pass defense isn't, you know, up to snuff, if third down defense isn't still great. But as the season goes along, I will get a little more nervous. I used to be where you were at with the, I just think they'll get it done. It's going to happen. Like, I just, you know, stay the course. I'm starting to sway a little bit there, to be perfectly honest. I'm starting to sway a little bit. The years have started to go on. They still can't get past the Chiefs in the first round. I've started to also look more at the NFC, and those teams are starting to get better. More talented young quarterbacks are starting to make their way over to the NFC as teams got worse. I mean, I'm a J.J. McCarthy truther. The Eagles look like a super team that could at least probably go for the next few years here. So I am starting to get a little nervous, and it does feel like the next 2 or 3 years has to be when they get through. The AFC West is loaded. It's not just the Chiefs anymore. They won't have a free gift to the division. It will be a battle. I already mentioned the AFC North. But if New England hits, the Bills in very short time will have a rival in the AFC East. And May is not Mac Jones. He is an elite physical talent that could, if he hits and they do right around him, could be able to, you know, kind of not necessarily do what Allen does, but in a certain sense, take a less talented team to 11, 12 wins.
And I wanted to go back on something that you said about like the season openers and everything like that. Facing Baltimore kind of, I'm not going to say it excuses a loss, but you brought up the word Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. The Bills have lost more frustrating week one openers with this group, this quarterback, this coach. They've lost a worse week one opener. Probably there's nothing more unforgivable than that. So if they lose to the Ravens, it's not Zach Wilson and the Jets. And that's not to forgive. You started 0-1. It's not great. As a matter of fact, if I tried to say that to the locker room, good luck to me on that endeavor. So the players would know. But for any fans that would be freaking out about it, just don't, is really how I'd say it. Try to keep your peace as long as you can.
Well, especially, we got 17 of these.
We got 17 of these. It is
a
marathon.
They will lose games.
Nothing is on fire if they lose week one against the Baltimore Ravens. I can assure you that. Please, believe me.
It's why I've absolutely moved away from, want a big week one game. No. Yeah. I want to play Cleveland. I want to play Arizona.
This
I just want to get the season underway.
This is literally, they don't ask how, they ask how many. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you get a win, you get a win. If you get a loss, it's a loss. The how, I'm not worried about either one of them. But to get to the bigger point here, and that is, you know, what this season can be when it comes to stress levels for anyone watching or how imperative it is. And I think that this season in a pocket is kind of an evaluation as well. Because you mentioned it, the Chiefs now might have a harder road ahead than they have had in years past. The Bills currently do not. They may, for example, if New England were to step up. The North is still a brutal division that beats the heck out of each other.
Yeah, it's the North.
So with that, you should break through because I believe that you have the talent to do it anyway, right? Even in the circumstances that have been presented known as the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And am I worried about them necessarily? No. Because the Bills are good enough. And throughout the years, they're also the only team that really pushes back in the AFC outside of Cincinnati. When it comes to Kansas City and Kansas City alone, Baltimore doesn't give them fits. Cincinnati gave them fits and then removed themselves from the conversation. Buffalo every year at least punches Kansas City in the mouth. The Chiefs could have had an undefeated season if not for the Bills, because they wouldn't have probably sat on the laurels with the Broncos game at that point. Maybe they actually try for an undefeated season because they have a legitimate shot at it.
So then for me, it is, again, the Bills are the ones that they get in the way. They stand up to you in Kansas City. That's why I'm not as concerned, because I do see a team that does beat the Chiefs. It's in the regular season, but they do do it. And considering that hardly anybody else, sorry, literally only one team in the AFC one time has beaten the Chiefs in the postseason, I'm more confident in the team that pushes back, because they've shown me what nobody else does. The Chiefs will dominate an entire season and they lose to the Bills. The Chiefs will have a 13-win season, but one of those losses is to the Bills. Yes, I understand the importance of making sure that it's done in January instead, or also.
Mm-hmm.
And in those games, the Bills don't roll over and die either. That's the important part. They will break through because they've shown that they can break through. That's why I'm not as worried. They've shown it to me. Now it just has to all come together in the right spot. Because outside, if the Bills lose to Kansas City, you can clip this, but I'm already going to have gone mad and I will not be able to comprehend it. Because then this becomes like the Toronto Maple Leafs against Game 7s kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what to do at this point anymore. Then it becomes an all unsolvable question.
I think a lot of people know what they would do if that happens.
Yes.
We don't have to have that conversation today, but I think a lot of people know what
a lot of people probably know the next step that they'd want to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not disagree at that point, because then it's what, you've lost six in a row in the playoffs to these guys. You clearly have a problem. But let's get to there first, honestly, is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to worry about necessarily, oh, like this might be a do or die season, for example. If it's week one, try to enjoy it the best that we can right now and let the stress levels all inflate in January.
Right.
Let's all get there together. We don't have to start at 100. We could start at zero. And then as the season gets closer to January and like we're getting closer to the time where the stress level should be higher, let's all get high blood pressure together, okay?
803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check as we're at the midpoint of the week. We'll get injury report later on this afternoon. The Bills will be practicing a little after noon. Sal Capaccio going to jump on the show a little under 15 minutes from now. But let's go to the phones here, and we'll start today off with Brandon on the line. Brandon, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I just want to call in real quick, and I just want to say I think the mentality of having where the do or bust mentality is kind of a good mentality mm-hmm. that I think Buffalo or Bills Mafia should have at this point. I know a lot of the players, I don't know when it was, but I think they interviewed Deion Dawkins and they asked him, do he have the do or bust mentality? And he said, no. He said, basically, they know they're going to get the job done, so on and so forth. The reason why I think that's a very dangerous mentality for us, because I just look at Josh Allen and I look at how long, and I know this is a stupid question, but how much longer mm-hmm. can Josh Allen do the things that he do and pull off the things that he pulls off? And how much longer can we have Josh Allen? Or will we go a whole another 3 years or 4 years? And hopefully I know that we'll get it done. But let's say if we don't, will we be the team that got there but could have gotten done with Josh Allen, and now we got to go through the draft pick to get another quarterback just like him? So the reason why I say that the do or bust mentality is kind of a good thing to have, where I just feel the AFC is getting – The competition around you is getting better and better. Like you say, even the NFC, they're getting better over there. But look in our backyard, like the Patriots, they might be good this year. The Jets might be good. Miami, we all say they're going to be bad, but what if Miami's good? You know, I just feel like the competition around us is getting better and better. And I just feel like, when is it going to get done? And I feel like the do or bust mentality is very, very needed, in my opinion, because if you have that relaxed mentality, well, we'll get it done. Every year, I just feel like, how long can Josh go in his prime? How better can you be from MVP, or how better can Josh have a better year than he had last mm-hmm. year? And that's all I wanted to say, man. I just want to say thank you guys for the good work, and I'll listen in.
Thanks, Brandon.
For players,
the do or die mentality is great. For fans, it might be unhealthy, is probably the best way I'll say it. Like, yes, we take this in within this city, and it does mean something, and it means something probably heavier within Buffalo than it does in other cities. But at the end of the day, to be a fan and say there is a do or die mentality, that's not healthy, especially in 1 year. You mentioned even in the call, Brandon, that within the next 3 or 4 years, context matters. Because in those next 3 or 4 years, is it just Kansas City still? Did Baltimore finally break through? Did another team emerge? Or is this an entire AFC, you're fraudulent conversation? Context will matter in that. But that's also 3 or 4 years down the line. It is not now. It is not this year. And we've did this a couple years ago when it was all the bring the band back together for one last ride. I think it was 2022 or 23. Both of those years, actually. Where it's the last hurrah with this current core. And in 2023, we were all miserable. Because they were not playing up to par. But it was also the higher expectations. It's not the healthiest thing in the world to have a do or die mindset for a fan. The locker room, I believe the locker room is going to have it. Why? Because they know that careers are not going to be something that are held onto forever. So try to enjoy it for what it is, which is, this is a good team. And you're in the conversation every year. The thing that is going to be the driving force is, can they break through? Because we, here, media, fans, we have nothing to do with it at the end of the day. There's nothing we can say or do that makes a difference. And I know that that sounds like a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also the reality. The locker room, I think, has the right mindset because the way Deion Dawkins talked about it is also confidence. And if you're a pro athlete, you better have confidence.
Yeah, it needs to be almost irrational. I think for me, though, I can understand a fan that feeling because I somewhat get there as well. No, you don't want to have the do-or-die mentality, and I can understand it can be a little unhealthy, but you also don't want to be and I think you're right, too, with this city in particular. You don't want to have another generation effectively has their 4 Super Bowl straight losses. Just this would be, oh, cool, instead of being second fiddle to Dallas, you're second fiddle to Kansas City. You couldn't even make it to the Super Bowl because the dynasty of the era was in the AFC. You don't want to almost have that become like a rite of passage in the city, is that eventually you're going to have to deal with having a generational team that's going to be awesome. You'll love every second of it, and it's going to, and in the end, it'll suck. And that's, I think, where most people get the worries, the fears from. Like, I'm almost there with Brandon, where like you do start to sit there and think about the long term of like, okay, how many more drafts before we are having a genuine conversation of, guys, we need to draft Josh's replacement? You want to have a Super Bowl already in-house at that point. And to Jeremy's point from this morning, you don't want to get there to where winning a Super Bowl is not a joyous occasion, but a relief. I, though, will somewhat disagree. I think winning any sports championship is somewhat of a relief. There is, of course, the jubilation, the excitement. But I think for most fandoms, it is a thank goodness we finally did it, or thank goodness we did it. Because either you had high expectations, you met them, awesome. Or you're a team like Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit, Houston, Jacksonville, Carroll, these teams that have never won a Super Bowl, thank bleep we finally did it. I think there's always going to be that sense of it's over, thank goodness. You just don't want it to completely envelop an era of an organization. And the Bills of this era are getting dangerously close to that. Now, you've brought up the context matters. Really, Cincinnati's been the only team to get through. They lost their one opportunity against the Rams, sure. But Baltimore does still have 2 Super Bowl championships. They've won it in 2 different eras. Now, ultimately, with Ray Lewis and some of those defensive guys still being there. But they won their championships. Buffalo doesn't have that yet. And I think that's where it does become almost more painful for many of these organizations is, even with this generational quarterback, Allen will likely retire as a top 10 QB, regardless of Super Bowl wins or not. Look at guys like Dan Marino. But you want to look back at that era, because let's be honest, that's where Super Bowl wins come from. They come from generational players. You won't get this guy again, what have you. You don't want to leave that era going, great, and what'd we get out of it? Division titles? Yeah, how much does that mean in professional sports? 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio joins the show next. The Bills are back at practice today a little after noon. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 11:45, hopefully getting an update on Trey White. But we'll hear from Sal coming up next. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills get back to work later today. We'll hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott in a little over an hour. Don't know if we'll be able to play it here live for you on WGR, but next guy that's coming up here on the Wester Hotline, Sal Capaccio, will be able to keep you covered at Sal Sports over on Twitter. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a beautiful day out here. I'm in the just outside the Bills media room, and it's amazing, right? You got the new stadium coming up here, and people are going to see that for the first time on Sunday, maybe. A lot of people got the current stadium where the game will be played this Sunday. And then I'm kind of in between the triangle here and then the practice field right over whatever shoulder I turn over here, and they're going to be out on the field here today getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful September afternoon.
Sal, me and Derek were talking there in that first segment, kind of the feelings going into this game. You know, it is week one. It can at many times be a mirage for a team's season, good or bad. What are your feelings going into this matchup? I mean, it is two juggernauts going up against each other to open up the year.
Well, there's two parts of it. There's the overall, you know, season opener, what I think about, you know, how it plays out. And I think that it's a long season, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. How many times have we seen the Bills? I mean, heck, they beat the Patriots 31-0 one year to open the season. that season didn't turn out great. You know, they lost the season opener 2 years ago on Monday Night Football at the Jets on a punt return touchdown in overtime. They still went on to win the division championship that year. Last year, they beat the Ravens. I'm sorry, they beat the Chiefs, but still had to go to their place during the playoffs because the Chiefs were still the higher seed. Yet the Ravens crushed the Bills, and the Bills still hosted the Ravens. So this is not the end-all be-all this week, but it's a monster game, and it can be, right? I mean, meaning like you could look back on it and say, man, at the end of the year, geez, if you just would have got that game, either team could say that. It doesn't have to be that way, though. But that being said, I mean, this is a really, really good matchup. I think anybody who looks at the week one matchup schedule says this might be the best game of the weekend. I think people have ranked it already number one, and, you know, rightfully so. It's the last two league MVPs, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. It is two teams that just played in January here in this stadium. The last time the Ravens played a football game, their season ended at the hands of the Buffalo Bills. You don't think they want to get back here and have some revenge on their mind? Of course they do. So I think a lot of things go into this matchup from a big picture standpoint and a microscope type of standpoint.
We do have some injuries on the Ravens side of things. Isaiah Likely, the report is today, while he is progressing well, will not be playing week one. And then the other two names, I know, Sal, you've brought them up to kind of keep an eye on, is Patrick Ricard, the team's fullback, and then Jaire Alexander, one of their new additions at corner. So it's not really just the Bills that are dealing with injuries. Hopefully we'll get a word on that, namely Trey White.
Yeah, so today is the first day that we'll have an official participation and injury report, meaning we'll know if a guy is limited or full or doesn't practice, and we'll know exactly what the issue is. I mean, we'll see what it's listed at for Trey White. If he's listed at all, he might be. I mean, if Sean McDermott tells us he's a full participant, then we don't really get him on there at all on the report. If he says he's limited, he'll tell us why. If he says that he is out, he'll tell us why, or at least we'll get that a little bit later in the day, even if Sean doesn't specifically state it when we hear from him at 11:45 a.m. The Bills, Tre'Davious White, I think, is the number one guy that we're all watching for and going to be kind of on the lookout to see not only what McDermott says, but on the practice field if he is practicing. Christian Benford too, though, guys. I mean, both starting corners. The last time I was here, last week, for the last time the media was allowed to be at practice, neither of the Bills' starting corners practiced. It's not just Tre'Davious White. It's Christian Benford. And, you know, you hope you have both of them, obviously, available today, but certainly for the game on Sunday. So we'll see where that goes. Tyler Bass still dealing with his injury. But, you know, he was good to go in Tampa, Everything looked good, seemed good. We did miss that late field goal, and then the Bills worked out some kickers. Was there anything to that? I don't know. Could be just be due diligence. We'll see. And then on the other side, you're right about that. We know now that Isaiah likely won't play, according to a report earlier today. I think Ian Rappaport had that. Now, that said, it wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, Isaiah likely hasn't practiced or done anything on a football field in like 5-6 weeks. It would have been stunning to me if he would have showed up at practice and just played this week. I mean, even if he comes back to practice, I think that's a tough task for anybody. Get back in football shape. Make sure you're good to go. I think they expect his return in the next couple of weeks. Jaire Alexander, I mean, he hasn't practiced since early August, I believe, guys. Like, had his knee drained. Again, another guy where even if he's at practice this week, how much is he doing, right? That's one of those situations where maybe he's just not ready to go. We'll see. We'll hear from John Harbaugh later, or the Ravens media will. We'll keep an eye out for that, get an update. And then the one that I really think is interesting is Patrick Ricard. And I say that because, yeah, fullback, right? Okay, well, how much does a fullback matter? Well, I think in this matchup it matters. This guy is somebody who the Ravens like to put on the field against the Bills. They like to go heavy against the Bills. They run straight at him. The Bills are a lighter defense traditionally. They got a little bit bigger this offseason. Patrick Ricard, wasn't it him, by the way, who hit Ed Oliver on that wham block earlier in the first game when Derrick Henry went the distance? I can't remember for sure. I thought it might have been him. But, like, this is a guy that is important to their offense. He hasn't practiced in a couple weeks. It's what I've read is a soft tissue injury, but we don't know what that exact injury is. So, little mystery surrounding that.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Westsur Hotline as the Bills get back to practice today officially for Ravens Week. Sal, we've made it to week one of the NFL season. And the good news here is we also now get to see in its true capacity the new-look defensive line. Joey Bosa will be in, ready to go. Those rookie defensive tackles who really put up the most promise in that Tampa Bay, that last preseason game, really kind of looking almost out of place, like they shouldn't have been there. But now it is an opportunity. The reps are all live. We now get to see the new look defense that the Bills put a lot of resources into. Whether the health at cornerback two is there or not will be determined. But we do know that the defensive line is healthy, and I'm very interested in the impact that Bosa, Sanders, and Walker will all be able to bring for the first time in Bills uniforms.
Yeah, the defensive line is healthy except for Dwayne Carter, who suffered his torn Achilles last weekend, right? And I know that, you know, what you mean by the other guys, you're right, but it's unfortunate for him, right? So they lose a guy out of the rotation. But from what I saw in preseason and training camp, I wouldn't have been surprised if Deion Walker and TJ Sanders kind of passed him anyway as far as how often they'd be on the field on the depth chart. You never want to lose a young player, especially a depth player that can help at a spot where you like to shuttle guys in and out. But Dwayne Carter is going to be out for the year. We'll see what the move there is. The Bills have not officially put him on an injury reserve. That being said, they'll do that later this week. But that being said, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, I'm very interested as well. I mean, I don't know if Landon Jackson factors into the Bills' plans early in the season. Could be a guy that doesn't get a game day jersey. I don't think he's shown enough for me to kind of be confident that they would put him out there amongst that group that you mentioned. You have Joey Bosa, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epinesa, Javon Solomon, on top of the guys, the young guys you mentioned, Deion Walker and TJ Sanders to go along with Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver. That seems to be your eight-man rotation along the entire defensive line. I think Deion Walker had a really, really strong rookie preseason in camp. I think TJ Sanders did, but if it wasn't for Deion Walker and how good he looked, maybe we'd be talking more about TJ Sanders. But I think Deion Walker looked really, really good. But we'll see. I mean, this is now big boy football. What I mean by that is there's game plans going on now. And, you know, you're going against, well, maybe not Patrick Ricard here, but a Derrick Henry team and, you know, Baltimore Ravens veteran offensive line, veteran coaching staff. You know, this is a little different than just going out there in the preseason and being able to kind of bully some people who might not be making the team. So we'll see what happens with Deion Walker. You hope that that continues to translate. I'm with you, Derek, on Joey Bosa. I'm really excited for him and to see him in a Bills uniform. I think if there's been a really pleasant, like, kind of outcome for anything here in training camp, there's been a lot, I'm sure. One of them for me would be Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa stayed healthy and looked good. And I think that was a really, really big boost to the Bills defense to know that coming out of camp and heading into this game.
Yeah, Sal, I mean, I think for fans, especially if you weren't able to go to any camps, we got kind of like a 15 real minute kind of preview of Bosa in the week one or the preseason week one game. He looked really, really good. And you're right. One of the positives has been a guy that many of us were joking. Does he actually have to play the regular season? We could just put him in bubble wrap and get him in the postseason. He stayed healthy. It's a good sign. This morning, though, Field Yates reported the Bills did create $8 million in cap by restructuring Deion Dawkins' deal. That's not, I don't think, too surprising. But, Sal, in terms of this, maybe we probably shouldn't be expecting a big move or anything like that. It's probably just more for them to operate.
Yeah, that's right. Good call, and you're right about that, and I hope that everybody understands that and puts it into context. Listen, anything can happen because they do have some money available to them now, right? But this is a standard operating procedure this time of year. The Bills weren't the only team. There were other teams that did this, but the Bills – a few weeks ago, weren't even going to be cap compliant, basically, once they got to a 53-man roster. We always talk about the top 51 rule. Only the top 51 salary caps count up until when you make the 53-man roster. Once that happens, you got to count another couple of salaries. The Bills were right up against the cap. Then, throughout the season, injuries happened. You have to sign players. You can't just do it on the fly. You got to be ready to rock and roll and to go get somebody. And if someone does come available, you can have that ability to go out there and make a move. So they created some move. They created some room, restructured Deion Dawkins. My assumption is this actually happened last week, guys, when they went to the 53-man roster. But it doesn't hit the what they call the system. It goes in, the paperwork has to be processed, which is why we're finding out now. Like, the Bills didn't announce anything, so you kind of have to wait for it to go. Yes, it counts when it happens, but it doesn't actually hit the system where people can see it and report on it until later. So I'm not here to tell you the Bills aren't going to make a move. I just don't expect something like that right now, because they would have the ability to do that if they wanted. This is more about having room for injury replacement costs and to make a move if something were to come about.
Speaking of moves, this came from yesterday, a report, nothing official from the team, but Gabe Davis does appear to be on his way back to Buffalo. He joins Poyer and Phillips as the two other former Bills making their return to the practice squad. Phillips, though, may not be on there too much longer with Carter's injury.
I'm interested what they do with that extra roster spot. It could be Phillips getting a contract. It could be Zion Logue, actually, guys. Mm-hmm. I like, he's 6'6", 313, right? He's a guy that I think they like. They had him on the practice squad most of last year. He played in a little bit of regular season for them last year. They could also decide to just sign a guy to the 53-man roster on another at another position that could help somewhere, and then just elevate somebody like a Jordan Phillips, like a Zion Logue, and still have them available to play in a game like this and kind of play, you know, a bit of roster gymnastics, as we like to say. As far as Gabe Davis is concerned, yeah, we'll see him today, most likely. He'll be back on the field with the team. Reportedly did agree to terms on a practice squad contract. Now, it's being reported as, hey, what did Schefter say? Practice squad for now, as he still recovers from his injury. From everything that I've understood, going back several months, talking with people who know Gabe very well, he was in a position where he was rehabbing a lot, and he wanted to wait until he was a lot more healthy to be able to sign with the team, and teams wanted to wait until he was healthy. Once that happened, you'd get to this point. And it seems like the Bills are comfortable. Gabe Davis is comfortable. He's back. Now it's, hey, how healthy is he? And when, at what point does he become a factor in maybe getting on the 53-man roster? That's all to be determined. We have to see. I just find it hard to believe, for me, from my perspective, this is unlike Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is an older player who doesn't have as much left. We saw the decline the last couple years, but he's still a guy that you can rely on to be helping prep and break glass in case of emergency for a game or two, to know the system. This is a 26-year-old receiver in Gabe Davis who's put in time in this league and had some big games. And I know it's been inconsistent in Buffalo. I get it. But you could do a lot worse than a guy like Gabe Davis on your practice squad, I'll tell you that. I have a hard time believing that he's here to be only on the practice squad for the whole year. At some point, I'd expect Gabe Davis to be on this roster. I just don't know how and when that would be.
And I think that's the thing too, Sal. Like, we've talked about it. The value the Bills got from him in the fourth round is, like, that's what you're looking for. If you can get that done, that's great. It just, you know, he wasn't a wide receiver two for them. But if he's a wide receiver three, four, midpoint of the year, yeah, you're right. You could do a lot worse with that. But last thing here for me, Sal, before we let you get ready for practice and for Sean McDermott speaking here in just a little while, sticking with the offense, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid. They're two guys that I think for many Bills fans have to have bigger years. Coleman, though, it seems like the last month or so of camp really started to stack good, if not great, days.
Yeah, I think both did, actually. I think Dalton Kincaid really looked really good especially once they got back to Buffalo. Like, I thought he was on a nice trajectory. But to your Keon Coleman point, not only did we see that, you know, from what we could see, you just hear everyone talking about him, right? You guys have heard it. Deion Dawkins has raved about him. I don't know if you heard Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and their show on TV, but I watched that interview, and, man, he just continued his high praise and raving like he did for us here in the local media a couple weeks ago about Keon Coleman. And he keeps saying basically the words in so many ways, watch out league, like, watch out, you don't understand what this guy's about to do. Well, you hope that comes to fruition for the Buffalo Bills because they need it. They need it to come to fruition. They need their two young, recent high picks, pass catchers, to break out and become a factor. If one does and not the other, that's still good. But if both can do that in some capacity, my goodness, that would really help this offense. I know it's an offense that still broke records, scored 30 points last year a game, over 30 points a game. But my goodness, like, these guys are really important to what they want to do. I'm excited to see Keon Coleman. I thought it was interesting that
we may have lost Sal. Oh, there he is.
Oh, there you go. I mean, sorry. You guys got me all
yep,
right?
The last we got was that you were excited about Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I was. I was excited about Keon Coleman. And I will tell you, one thing that's interesting to me is he wasn't featured on Hard Knocks at all, right?
Right.
Remember all summer we talked about how he'd be a great guy to be featured on Hard Knocks?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I wonder, like, I think I get, now that I'm putting, like, a lot together and, like, what people are saying about him and how he's going about his work, I think it's just like, hey, I don't want a part of that. I'm working here. I'm a football player. I want to do my football thing. I don't need to be featured or talking. And I just think that's pretty cool if you kind of put that all together and feel like, okay, this is a guy that's very, I'm going to use the word I used, and then Joe Brady used it too, ironically, which was really cool. I think he's just been very intentional how he's going about his business, and I think that's cool.
It's a good sign, too, from a 21-year-old in the second year, if that is the case, to be that mature to realize, all right, I got to lock in here. Sal, before we let you go, schedule for today, we've already mentioned McDermott will speak, Bills practice and such.
Yeah, so Bills will be on the practice field a little after noon. Sean McDermott speaks at 11:45. Right before that, we'll get an update on injuries participation report. And then after practice, we will hear from the two captains once again, voted by their team, Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. They will speak at the podium. And then, of course, we'll get locker room sound. I'll be in there grabbing some different players. Hoping to hear from Gabe Davis today. Don't know if that's going to be the case. We'll see where that goes. We're wrapping it up, guys. It's what they call media day down here at One Bills Drive because it's the day. Wednesday, when a team plays on Sunday, Wednesday's the day when the media kind of descends upon the facility to hear and get more media coverage and hear sound, and that's today.
All right, Sal. Enjoy today. Well, let's go get ready for that, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get a word in on the Baltimore Ravens. Kyle Goon, the Baltimore Banner, will join us at 11 a.m. But 803-0550, the number to call. You want to get your thoughts in as we head into week one. Chris, if you hold on the line, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one on a Wednesday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I promised it when we went to break, and so we'll keep that promise. We'll go to the phones. Chris is with us next. Chris, how are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
So I was just calling in. I feel like this whole offseason, all I've heard about is New England's going to be better. Drake May's going to be really good. I don't disagree that he's going to be a good quarterback, but I've been thinking the last couple of days people say Justin Herbert's, at least a top 7 QB.
Right, yeah.
That's never affected the Chiefs winning that division or anything at all like that. So I just don't find that as long as we get our business done, we don't really have to worry about having a potential top 7 QB in our own division.
I think that's absolutely right, Chris, to bring that up. Because let's be honest, it's not that long ago we were having nearly an identical conversation about the AFC West when Wilson first went to Denver. Yes. The feeling was put every AFC West divisional game on primetime. It's going to be must watch. Kansas City's window closed. Good for them. They got their Super Bowl. It's done now.
And then we put ourselves to the hell of the Bills Broncos on Monday Night Football.
Right. Wilson was bad. Herbert, to be fair, and that's the thing with Herbert now, and I think we've gone long enough in his career. He's a wonderful physical athlete. He is exactly what you want in your prototypical quarterback. 6'6", a little weird with freak traits. Like, that's kind of what you want. And yet, what is he, 0-2 in the playoffs? Pretty horrific performances by Jacksonville and Houston. I mean, Houston, he throws 2 or 3 interceptions the whole year. He throws 4 against Houston in 1 playoff game.
Yep. And then Jacksonville, you collapsed a 27-point lead.
Yeah. And so, it's right. I mean, so I bring up all the positives with Drake May. Absolutely could just be the Herbert of the division of like, yeah, he's really good. It's hard for me to say he's great. Now, with that being said.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I was not a Herbert truther when he came out of Oregon. I very much was a Drake May truther when he came out of North Carolina. His would have been sophomore season. He threw over 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, 7 picks. He was exceptional on an okay North Carolina team.
And it is interesting to bring up the case of, like, maybe that is what it ends up being in the Bills. And the Patriots become more of an annoying craw in the side in your division title, like how the Chiefs have gotten to that point with Denver.
Kind of what Miami's been for the Bills, where you beat them all the time, but they're already a little annoying.
You've already dealt with annoying second place little brother. You've been dealing with them for years, actually. That team has now fallen off of the face of the earth, and another one needs to take its place.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you got none of it, and that's fine. But also, Miami gives you an annoying game. New England gives you an annoying game. The Jets give you an annoying game. All three of those are one-score victories. That's just football.
That's division football right there.
That's division football. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Very rarely we get blowouts.
Yeah, it's not something to worry about, concern yourself with. And again, I'm not with the people that are nervous about week one against Baltimore. If you lose to a great team, you lose to a great team. Because again, you said it. This team lost to Zach bleeping Wilson to open a season. Three plays of Aaron Rodgers, where he didn't look great anyway. And then they lose to Zach Wilson. There's zero, and I mean zero, way that it feels worse to lose to the Baltimore Ravens than it should to lose to Zach Wilson. So anyone that's going to blow up the phone lines on Monday if the Bills were to lose, God forbid, they lost to Zach Wilson once. It's okay.
Chris, thanks for the call. Getting connected to our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Coming up after the break, Kyle Goon, the Baltimore Banner, will join the show. We'll get a look in at the Ravens as the Bills get ready to take them on Sunday Night Football. It's only a few days away. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Yeah, no, you certainly don't flush it because there's a lot to learn. I mean, we have to understand how the game went, how they played us, what the schemes were. There's a lot of chess moves going on in that game that will be built on this game on both sides of the ball. And yeah, of course, the way the game is played, what we could have done better, certainly. What we did well, same for them, I'm sure, too.
That is Ravens head coach John Harbaugh talking about, I'm going to call it, it's an ugly classic. The divisional round win for the Bills, 27-25. A lot of turnovers, not a lot of offense from the Bills, but the Bills did go on to the AFC Championship. The Ravens did not. And it's the last time the Ravens obviously have played a game. And for more on Baltimore, we go to the Wester Hotline as Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner joins us. Kyle, man, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're hanging in. We're hanging out.
It's week one, man. It's week one. We're here.
We made it.
I was surprised. I kind of would think coming off the AFC Championship game last year, a lot of Bills fans would be ready to go. And then I see in some of the reactions that you guys tagged me in one of your social posts this morning, they're very nervous. I'm surprised to see that. I didn't know that was the prevailing feeling in Buffalo.
Oh, it's like 100% of the time. Kyle, did you see who they lost to in the championship game? I mean, it's year after year after year here.
It's the madness.
It is the madness.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Ravens know that feeling well, too.
Speaking on it, though, Kyle, because you saw it in the mentions, it's also kind of a respect to Baltimore, which is why we wanted to talk to you and get a little more of a look on the opponent, because Bills fans do respect Baltimore. They do respect the run game with Derrick Henry. They do respect Lamar Jackson, and it does look like it is. Overall, Baltimore's just like Buffalo. It is birds of a feather, contending teams that should be pushing for a Super Bowl, having to duke it out in week one.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, obviously the way the last two Ravens seasons have gone, where it ends on a game that the Ravens were right in it, you feel like they probably could have won it. And I kind of look at the roster and I think to myself, okay, I'm ready to be hurt again. You know, it's they look stronger than last year in many ways. I mean, Derrick Henry obviously had an amazing season last year. They had DeAndre Hopkins. They've addressed some of their issues in the secondary that dogged them last year. I mean, they look like a stronger roster from top to bottom, and I think the NFL sort of community kind of views it the same way. So you think, like, okay, well, this looks like a Super Bowl team on paper. It's just, it's weird because I just don't think there's anything the Ravens can do in the regular season that proves that they are a Super Bowl team until we get to January.
Yeah, and Kyle, like that's like the awkward kind of conversations we've been having here too. Is like Bills have kind of gotten to that same point too. Like some of the rookie defensive tackles have looked good. Their first round pick is a corner. We won't see Max Harrison week one. He was put on IR with designation to return. But I think for both of these organizations, it has become cool. Like you have to play the regular season, but we'll see you guys in January. On that though, like you mentioned it, you saw that Bills fans were very nervous. Where are Ravens fans at this point? Especially we're almost at 20 years. I think what this is season 18 or 19 for Harbaugh at the helm. Lamar's been here been in Baltimore as long as Josh Allen's been here in Buffalo. What is the feelings for Ravens fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly some impatience. I think. I don't know whether the NFL starting to kind of circle the Ravens as Super Bowl darlings is good or bad for Ravens fans, because I think they're thinking the same thing. They're thinking, okay, well, like then let's get to it. But I do think there is sort of like this psychic advantage here going into it, because you know this first month the Ravens have a schedule against obviously the Bills. They play the Lions, they play the Chiefs, and those are all teams that you kind of figure, okay, those guys are going to be there at the end of the road at some point. So I think this first month, you know, if the Ravens can go 3-0 against those three contenders, I think that would be a huge psychological advantage for the rest of the season and maybe salve some people, because I think it's just a little bit sour that Lamar Jackson, who has won two MVPs, and sorry, Buffalo listeners, I'm going to die on the hill that he should have won three MVPs.
It's all good.
He has been so outstanding. He's been, one of the best players of his generation, and he just doesn't have any rings yet. And obviously there are some really good players standing in his way, but I think people are kind of waiting for the era to kind of deliver on its promise.
And so on that too, I mean, a lot of the guys that have kind of now been a part of this Jackson era, guys like Mark Andrews, who he was very much a main character in the divisional round game and will likely, at least to my knowledge, will have a big role, especially with Isaiah likely being out this weekend. You also have guys like Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman as well. Outside of Derrick Henry, does Jackson have enough around him to maybe get past the rest of the AFC? Because I think for both teams against Kansas City, that has maybe been the struggles. The offense is kind of at times go away a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, it is somewhat forgotten, and it's certainly not an excuse because the Ravens had plenty of chances to beat Buffalo and could not seize them. But they also were missing their leading receiver, Zay Flowers, last January and did not have, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver who went to the Pro Bowl for that game. So Zay Flowers is back. Rashad Bateman, who was in that game, he got extended. They added DeAndre Hopkins. who, you know, obviously has a ton of experience and was playing in the Super Bowl last year. I would argue that they're stronger this year around Lamar Jackson, and they've really kind of bought into sort of a combination of young talent and veteran leadership. The biggest question is the offensive line. I mean, I think the Bills have long had the advantage there. And you know, they have some young guys, but they also brought back Ronnie Stanley, who, you know, is a former Pro Bowler, former All-Pro type guy. So, you know, there's a lot to like. There's a lot of experience. It's just sort of about, all right, can you guys kind of all show up on the field all at the same time in a playoff game?
And that is going to be the interesting part of this. Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Kyle, when it comes down to it with how this team in Baltimore has been stacking up, you mentioned it. They look even better on paper this year. But the offseason for them, what has it been for how busy Baltimore can be, the fact that they bring back Stanley, they bring in Hopkins, they bring in Jaire Alexander, who may or may not be able to play week one, however, though. But what's it like to have that kind of an offseason, knowing that this team continues to try to gear up for that next step, much like Buffalo has been unable to take it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think there is, you know, a bit of a wind at their back because, you know, they look at that loss and they're like, okay, well, whatever we got is not good enough. And so they add experience at those positions. I mean, receiver was a position they needed experience at. You know, cornerback was a position they needed experience at. Their first round pick was a safety. They had problems at the safety position last year. So they really addressed what they needed to address. I think it's just, but I think the bigger strain, and I'm sure you guys are feeling this as well, is, you know, just the future. Beyond this year, you know, Lamar Jackson's contract has a $75 million salary cap hit yet next year. That's about 25% of the salary cap. And so that's kind of the weird thing about having a great quarterback. You wait forever to have one, and then when you got to pay him, it's really hard to field the team around him. So 2025 looks great for the Ravens. 2026, oh, not so great. 2027, ooh, that's going to be tough. So Lamar Jackson has not restructured his contract. Obviously, Josh signed a new extension this offseason. The Ravens kind of need Lamar to do that and restructure his contract so they can keep, you know, staying competitive for 2026. So the present looks great. The future is very dicey because of the blessing and a curse of having a great quarterback that you have to pay a lot of money to.
Speaking on that future, Kyle, I mean, they added the Ravens two defensive pieces that I think a lot of Bills fans were keeping an eye on in Malachi Starks at safety, and then even Mike Green as an edge rusher. What have you seen from them as we get into the season?
A lot of promise. I mean, I think, you know, Starks like to see a little more just because, you know, safety can be such a complicated position, and those spine positions are so important in the NFL. Mike Green, you know, obviously he kind of comes in under a cloud of some real off-field concerns, but at the same time, when it comes to football, a lot of people on the team just seem to rave about him and just talk about, you know, his athleticism, obviously. He's got, you know, something that I really learned about this year, which is bend. So I don't know, go watch a YouTube video about what bend is, but you know, he's just got a real aptitude for pass rushing. He's got an appetite for learning. You know, he paired with Adafe Owe and Kyle Van Noy, who've been doing this a long time. Both of them had double digit sack seasons last year. And everything we've heard on the media side is that he's Mike Green is a guy who loves to learn, loves to get better. And I would expect he would make an immediate impact this year.
Kyle, as we get to week one, injury concerns. Obviously, I'd brought up about Jaire Alexander may not be able to play. Isaiah Likely also being mentioned on the injury report. Ricard, it does look like what's Baltimore's health looking like here to open the season? Because the Bills do have a problem at cornerback two right now with both Trey White and Max Hairston having injuries. Hairston on IR. But what's Baltimore looking like health-wise here coming into Sunday night?
I mean, honestly, like the crazy thing about the roster is every position you just mentioned, corner, tight end, except fullback. I mean, you know, you can't replace Ricard, but These are positions where the Ravens are really, really strong. I mean, Isaiah Likely is considered sort of the up-and-comer at tight end. Well, I mean, the Ravens also have Mark Andrews. You know, they at corner, they have Marlon Humphrey. You know, they have Nate Wiggins, who's a second-year player who was a first-round pick, who is considered one of the fast risers and could be a real ball hawk this year. So I think what it really limits is the variability, the versatility that the roster has, things they can do with their alignments. You know, it takes Marlon Humphrey out of the nickel slot where he's arguably more effective. And they just can't do quite as much, but it's not exactly a glaring hole in the side of the boat. It's kind of crazy how much depth the Ravens have. I mean, they went 3-0 in the preseason. I know that doesn't mean anything, but what was remarkable to me is just how much deeper their roster looked than, you know, the Colts, the Cowboys, the Commanders. Just the Ravens have depth where other teams are just looking for answers.
And then, Kyle, last thing for me here, you did mention, I don't think you necessarily meant it this way, but Patrick Ricard at fullback. Just how important is he to the Ravens' run game with Derrick Henry?
He's pretty important. I mean, I think he played about, you know, just over 40% of the snaps last year, which is not a ton. And, you know, obviously Derrick Henry has a way of creating his own space and blowing his own holes wide open. But those two got along like gangbusters last year. I mean, you know, you look at the year before in Tennessee when Derrick Henry really struggled on his per carry average. And he, you know, I think he had like an average of like minus 1 yard when he would make that first contact with a defender, which is not good. Just no push for the Titans. And obviously, you know, when you're playing with the Ravens, when you're playing with Lamar Jackson, I mean, they've had a top five offense in a row for, I don't even know how many seasons, 4 or 5 seasons, or top rushing offense. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, Patrick Ricard is just a huge part of that DNA and blows stuff wide open. And like I said, it just kind of limits the versatility, variability that the Ravens have. You may not know what's coming even when Patrick Ricard is on the field, but it's just a one less tool if he's not going to be able to play this weekend.
All right. Kyle, are you coming up to Buffalo for this game, or are you staying at home?
I sure am coming up. I wasn't a huge fan of Buffalo in the winter, but I'll mm-hmm. try to see if I'm a fan of Buffalo in the summer. I wanted to see the difference.
It does look like the weather's going to be good, 60s to 70s. We've had a very hot summer. I don't know if Baltimore's been the same thing. We've had a very, very hot summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Last January, I was freezing my butt off, mm-hmm. and I'm sure the Ravens will have to – freeze their butt off if they want to go through the Lombardi Trophy again. So, but hey, listen, I'll enjoy good weather when I can get it, especially in some of you northern cities here.
Absolutely. Kyle, enjoy the trip up here, and we'll talk again soon, man. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, thanks.
That was Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner there on the West Her Hotline.
You should text him again to be like, hey, here's the food places.
Here's the places to go.
I mean, get the
probably
food.
Probably that's what's going to happen.
Go do that.
Here's like, how you let, make the
let,
trip worth
let
it.
Let Kyle know how to make the trip worth it there, because mm-hmm. Again, there's a bit of a different charm when, you know, we're not slogging through the snow.
Oh, 100%. And that's the thing for a lot of these, like northern cities especially, beautiful in the summer, spring great, winter, it's hell. It's just cold.
Hell.
It's all right. It's just cold. It's gloomy. I am interested in that depth conversation because, you know, the Bills maybe had the opposite preseason to the Ravens, where I think for many of us, we maybe were overemphasizing what was going on in the preseason at times. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, especially the game against Chicago, it looked really bad. Now, coming away from that, it was, okay, Ben Johnson and kind of the whole Bears brass really wanted to put good tape out there. They want to have good feelings around that team. They have not won consistently in a long time, and they want to build a culture of winning. I heard Chris Brown talking about this. So they likely, you know, did what they had to do that. Where the Bills have gotten to a point with the preseason where they're like, oh my gosh, like I guess we have to do this. It has its importance. I would just rather not do it. Maybe the Ravens were a little bit of the opposite. I'm not saying they game planned. I didn't watch any of their preseason. But maybe they do take it a little bit more seriously. I don't know the exact stats, so I didn't want to bring it up with Kyle there, but there was a period there for a number of years where the Ravens were like 15-0, 16-0 in the preseason over however many years that was. So maybe they do take it a little bit more seriously. And but, to be fair, it does work for them. They're a successful organization.
That's just chickens crossing a road differently, really. Mm-hmm. Because both teams are fantastically run. Both teams are very consistent. They are all, oftentimes, the two of them, they are top-tier teams in the NFL mm-hmm. right now. And Buffalo gets, I guess the nice way to say it is, it's sometimes kicked around in the preseason. Meanwhile, we had Baltimore again. Like you said, there was like that 16-0 run that they had on, with preseason games, and they oftentimes are winning them.
Mm-hmm.
It also tells you that it ultimately doesn't matter because you have one team that does great in the preseason, and they do great in the regular season. And you have another team that does typically dreadful in the preseason, and they're great in the regular season. That's why the preseason pledge exists, I guess, is the way to say it. And again, these two teams, it really is a weird mindset they have to take of the real conversation for both of them starts in January. Have fun while we get there. Try to get a one seed. Separate yourself from the other. But the Bills and Ravens are birds of a feather. They are the same. And while Baltimore may have a quote-unquote Buffalo problem, I also see it as the Bills and the Ravens in particular have one red and yellow problem. One of them needs to kick that group aside. And it would benefit both parties.
And I will say this too, like for both teams, obviously, we all know which one we'd want it to be. The likelihood is that it soon Kansas City will be tossed aside by one of them, if not somebody in the AFC. It just is a statistical wonder that they've been on the run they have been on. And I know there's, you know, McDermott has already, I know the clip's been out there mentioning that, you know, no team's ever going to make it to four straight Super Bowls. The Chiefs are on that run right now. They've gone to three straight. If they go this year, it's four. But that's also a statistical wonder that would happen, especially with how loaded the AFC is now with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I've even heard Nick Wright, who I know many people in Buffalo don't like hearing from, but he's even mentioned, I think, on Mina Kimes' show a month or so ago, mentioning that, like, the Bills will eventually get past the Chiefs. They just will. They're too good. The games are too close. Eventually, it will not go the Chiefs' way. You just hope it's in an AFC championship where, okay, now the next step is the Super Bowl rather than, cool, we got past the Chiefs. Now it's the Ravens. That's I think, always the fear for me that kind of like locks in is like the moment you get past the Chiefs, it's all of a sudden, cool, now we get to play Baltimore. Awesome. And that's where last year I think had such that good feeling even going into the AFC championship was – they aren't the best defensively. This is not their best team. It's going back to that 06 Indianapolis Colts feeling.
You
of
may
like,
have faced the better opponent already.
Or just 06 Colts. This isn't even our best team, but it's the one that's going to win, right? Like you look at 2020 as being better or 23 being, but whatever. You know, last year wasn't their best team, but they got through Baltimore. They needed a little bit of luck, but who cares? And then you get the Chiefs and you're like, here we go. And it fell short. And I guess it's where, like, I was a little thrown that Kyle was surprised that Bills fans were as, you know, nervous as they are. It's because, well, look who they keep losing to. Like, that's great that they beat the Ravens. It's great they made the AFC Championship. But they keep falling short to the dynasty of the 2020s.
There's also the respect factor, though, of
Oh, right.
The Ravens themselves.
We're not going to walk through them.
We're not expected to walk. Bills fans know that the Ravens are a team that should get respect. Or at least, you know, based on the climate of what we're seeing from fans today, is that it's not a great feeling for this game. And I'm still here to say, if they lose to the Ravens, they lose to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world. And you know what? Just to help get a read in, to get connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Matthew tweeted in, 2 years ago, the Chiefs lost to the Lions in the opening game of the season before going on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they looked bad against the Lions.
Yeah, actually. They didn't look good. That was sort of the Lions.
That was the Lions, hey, we're here for real.
Yeah.
And that's the Lions saying, we've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant to be taken seriously within the NFC, and we're going to keep going from here. And everyone looked at the Chiefs and said, okay, what's up with you? They went on and won the Super Bowl. Because of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, losing week one is not an indictment on your season. If you are a great team, it's not fun to start 0-1, but half the league does it.
Well, there are still ties, but you're right. I mean, for me, it's back to the preseason.
If there's ties, it's still half the league does it.
Right. It's for me, though, it's back to the preseason, too, of like how different a bad or up-and-coming team feels compared to a perennially very good team where, yeah, perennially very good or great team, 0-1, whatever, we're fine. Like, just move on. That sucks. It's annoying, but we're going to be fine. Bad to ascending team, Detroit from a few years ago, or just a flat-out bad team, I don't really care how you get it. 1-0, great. Every win will matter if we're trying to make the playoffs. If it's that big looking back to the Bills, you know, breaking the drought, they have a fast start to that season. And then it kind of gets muddied in the middle, and then they finish strong. You know, every win matters. And so there is a different feeling, same with the preseason. Bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And sending team gets really excited about the preseason. Young players looking good, what have you. Good teams just kind of want to get through it without any major injuries.
803-0550 is the number to call. We'll come back on the other side here. Mike, if you're on hold, stay there. But don't forget to join us at Rally on the River Home Opener Festival Saturday, September 6th at Buffalo Riverworks. Sports Talk Saturday with myself and Joe Calley will kick off at 10 a.m. Sal Capaccio takes over the mic at noon until 2 o'clock. Admission is free. Enjoy the Mafia Boat Parade at 1, the official after party at 3 o'clock, and autographs from Dion Dawkins. There's also live music, local vendors, rides, bounce houses, and chalk artists. The Rally on the River, this is this Saturday, September 6th, at Buffalo Riverworks. Details are at buffaloriverworks.com. I'm excited to be there. Be sure to join us there. And also, Joe Marino from Locked On Bills will also be going on the mic at Riverworks after 2 o'clock as well. So plenty to do there. Make sure to join us. I'm excited to be there, and I hope that we see you all there. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Number 2 continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Wednesday. It's beautiful outside. Sun is shining. Bills
it's
back to practice.
Week one. Officially week one because the practice schedule has begun.
That is right. Bills will be on the practice field a little after noon. We are expecting to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott around 11:45. That's in about 10 or so minutes. Won't be able to carry that live here, but we'll keep you posted on hopefully any injury notes we get from that. At Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio will also have you covered over on Twitter. But let's get connected to our fans. 803-0550, the number to call. And when we get connected to our fans, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike is with us next up. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, so, you know, pass openers, like, you know, like week one, you know, I always felt like the narrative was, you know, that's just kind of getting our foot in the ground and whatnot. But, you know, this one's different, man. You know, week one, this is, you know, the narrative with, you know, the Bills playoff runs have been, you know, we need to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And a conference game, week one, like, we need to go. And kind of the main reason I'm calling is I was listening to the guests you guys had on from Baltimore. Pissed me off, man. I'm trying to disrespect their hosts. But, like, just I just feel like, you know, like, Baltimore's media and players' personnel do not respect us. Right, like Lamar Jackson should have been MVP last year as well. But we're not going to talk about all the pros that Lamar had around him. Like, just the disrespect that we get from, you know, just that market over there, it just pisses me off. And I just feel we as a team, we need to come out, and I want to see a fired up Buffalo Bills, and I want to see a convincing win. And like, that's just what I need to be. Like, we need to find a reason, a way to win this game week one and continue to, like, shut off the narrative about the Bills are a weak defense. Like, I called afternoon, guys, and I really feel we have strengthened our interior defenses. And this Buffalo dime package that Buffalo soft, like, we just need to kill that narrative week one and punch the Ravens in the mouth.
Mike, thanks for the call. I don't totally know if he was being disrespectful. You surprised people were as nervous going into this game. I understand that the MVP
thing
point.
Is the MVP thing. Can we? I would love to throw that conversation away forever. Ravens fans won't let it go.
I will tell you, though. Which
is, you know what? Fine, that's your choice. That's your prerogative to stay in the method of madness, but that's your madness.
I will tell you, though, and Mike, thanks for the call. Loving that a rivalry is really starting to develop between the two fan bases, the two teams, what have you. And to a certain extent, it can be annoying, it can be frustrating, especially if you're online on social media a lot. Like, it can get very vitriol. I am all for the rivalry. I am all for kind of the two teams playing into each other's destinies and their legacies and all that stuff. I absolutely love that. And yeah, to a certain extent, yeah, you've had Baltimore media, not saying Kyle's part of this, but of course we've had Baltimore media, not to name any names, but, you know, call the city a city of losers. McDermott has almost brought up that point as well.
McDermott has... now several times brought it up, very fiery, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, there's no love lost for that guy. I'm not going to mention his name. But
I just don't know if we're going to – in any way, I don't think you'll get a convincing win. I'm not saying the Bills can't win. What I'm saying is I don't think you're going to walk away from this going, we are just going to walk through Baltimore the next time we play them.
Right.
They're both too talented, and they're both in a similar spot to where – it's going to be the 27-25 final score, where even when you're up, 21-10, and you got the early turnovers and what have you.
Game's not over.
Game is not over. It's the same with the Chiefs. You're just not going to get a blowout win, even in the regular season when you beat them. It's happened, once?
Matter of fact, the regular season game, the Bills were starting to find their form again, and then the accursed trick play happens.
Yeah, so even without the trick play, maybe that regular season game, which, I mean, Shakir's out, they don't look comfortable. Until
Shakir
they
gets hurt
did a little
in
bit.
That game.
Yeah, until a little bit into it. You know, you never know. But yeah, like, I mean, with the Chiefs, as much as those games have been close, you've had one, I would argue, blowout win, or at least comfortable win, back in Kansas City. They had the rain delay in the middle of it, the whole thing. I think that was really the only convincing one. Every one of them had been very close.
Nope. That scoreboard's deceiving. It takes an interception that is returned.
Oh, right. What is that? Is that in 22?
Yes.
Yeah.
It takes a defensive play to get that done. And even then, the Chiefs are going to try to storm back, and there's one more pick to end it all.
Mm-hmm.
So the scoreboard kind of deceived on that one too. The rain delay game, yeah, it was the one that it was probably the most comfortable, but
it was 21.
You still needed several interceptions to make sure it went away. That's how it goes. When you're facing great teams, it's never going to be comfortable.
No, but I fully get the point, though, of wanting to shut down the narrative of...
It's a tone setter, though.
The defense being bad. I absolutely agree with Mike's point, though. I think they've gotten much better on the interior of the defensive line. Look, it sucks for Dwayne Carter, but I'll stand by it. It looked like he was being lost in the shuffle. That already Deion Walker and TJ Sanders had surpassed him. We talked to Sal about an hour ago now, where Sal, you know, was absolutely singing the praises of Deion Walker and how good he has looked. And how and to be fair, I think most Bills fans that have watched the preseason or really just looked at anything from the preseason, he was one of the main figures, one of the main positives from that. And it's just, you know, where both teams are at. Yeah, I don't see a comfortable, convincing win. I see it much more of a thank God that's over. And you just hope you're 1-0. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. But I love that the rivalry is somewhat kind of fully formed now. In part, it's because of Allen and Jackson's play and them going back and forth with MVPs here and very much playing a role into, you know, each other's stories, essentially. Mahomes is this. You know, if it's not for Mahomes, Jackson and Allen probably have gone back and forth with MVPs and Super Bowls.
Right.
You know, if not for Mahomes winding up on the Chiefs, that's probably what's happening.
Even if one of these three quarterbacks ends up in another conference, it's a different story for one of them, or all of them even.
Yeah, all of them having to be in the AFC at the same time.
Because, as you said, then maybe one of them, the two that are still splitting against each other, it's not just about MVPs, it's about Super Bowl appearances. And you're still fighting amongst each other, though, for it. And the other one's not in the way.
Yeah.
And it's more hyper-focused. Say, for example, like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are in the NFC North instead for some reason in this hypothetical. Does life get easier for the Bills still? Maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to be discredited. Both of these teams are not patsies. They are not to be taken lightly, even though they are a tier below the Chiefs in terms of winning. In terms of talent, they are there. All three of them are in this Bermuda Triangle of hell of having to get through each other. And unfortunately for two of those teams, they get lost along the way.
I think really the only difference now that's kind of become between the two of them is, you know, where the playoff losses stem from. Who do fans blame? You know, for the Bills, it's very much become regular. And in many instances, it's correct, coaching the defense. Where with Baltimore, it is the superstar quarterback. I think many Ravens fans would blame Jackson. Turnovers really become an issue for him in the playoffs. That's kind of notorious for him now. And even to a certain extent, it's not as correct as it was years ago. But in the AFC divisional game, that gets away from him because the Bills win the turnover battle. It's a bad snap that's almost returned for a fumble touchdown by Von Miller. There's a pick early in that game. Just a bad miscommunication.
Oh, it wasn't even a fumbled snap. Jackson tries to do something. He slips.
Yeah, he slips. And so like that's really the differences now between the teams is that for Ravens, you're kind of looking more at Jackson going like, okay, if we pass the ball more, is it really that bad? What is going on? What's up with the turnovers? Where for the Bills, it is much more of coaching, defense. I'd argue also talent level as a whole. You know, the last caller, Mike, did bring up the, you know, the All-Pros. Bills had, what, like two Pro Bowlers last year?
Yeah, it's not even close.
And I think, don't get me wrong, I think a certain part of that is I think the Ravens are wonderful at promoting their players, at getting them out there on the national scene, the whole thing. The Bills, I don't want to say are bad at it, but there are too many times where I still see people, you know, saying that keep Buffalo a secret, and I can't stand that. And I hope it changes this year. I hope Hard Knocks, for as, you know, kind of lackluster as it was, I hope now Benford, you know, somewhat becomes a bit of more of a known guy. Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, you know, those kind of guys.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, really. If you want to keep Buffalo a secret and then you also want players to get some sort of recognition, you cannot have it both ways. That is the simple thing of it. You want one or the other, and that's perfectly fine for your prerogative. I don't care if the Bills don't get the national recognition. If Bills players don't get the national recognition, I know I'm definitely opposite on you of that, but not in a contentious way. I'm not worried about it.
And I also don't care about it for an MVP conversation, for example. I don't need to tear the roster down in order to prop somebody else up.
Right, that was kind of weird. Let's go back to the phones here. Ron is with us next. Ron, how we doing?
Good. I just wanted to mention when you guys were talking about being in the wrong conference at the wrong time,
mm-hmm.
Look back at Dan Marino. He got lost in the shuffle with all his yards and touchdowns mm-hmm. because of Kelly and Elway.
Yeah, a little bit. Thanks for the call, Ron. I think also, too, though, I don't love talking about this because I know I make people upset. The AFC was not the AFC of today in the 90s. The NFC
right.
ran the NFL for a long time. I think I don't know the exact number, but it was over, I think, 10 straight Super Bowls the NFC won. I mean, realistically, that was 49ers Cowboys going back and forth. He did get lost in the shuffle, though. His teams were significantly worse than those Bills teams. He was kind of carrying them by a thread and winning like 9 games. Like, and it's where it's a little bit different with Allen and Buffalo now. Allen and Buffalo are like regularly in for the 1 seed and the 2 seed, what have you. The Dolphins were winning like 9-10 games at times and really struggling. Marino was kind of like the only, once the Marx brothers were gone too, especially, was kind of the only guy holding that ship together. And it didn't go particularly well against much more talented Bills teams.
Now, why did you make me curious enough to look? The NFC thing.
Yeah, how many years was in a row?
1984 to 1996.
Yeah, I thought it was over 10. Yep.
And ready? The Broncos lose 4 Super Bowls, 3 of them in that span.
Yep.
The Bills lose their 4.
Mm-hmm.
The team that starts this streak is Miami. Marino.
Oh, yeah, in 84 against the 49ers.
Marino Pearson's only Super Bowl gets ragdolled.
Yeah, a lot of those Super Bowls are blowouts.
And, again, the closest one by a comfortable margin is wide right. The second closest is the Niners beating the Bengals 20-16.
Other you said than that, it ended in 90. It went to 96, right?
It went through 96 when the Packers beat the Patriots.
So then Elway and the Broncos end it with 2 straight.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
And even that one, ready? The closest was a 1-point loss. The second closest was a 4-point loss. The third closest was 10.
Yeah, Super Bowl was not a close game for a long time.
In the 90s?
There was a run there. It was not close.
In that mid-80s to mid-90s, it was, like you said, dominated mm-hmm. by the NFC to a point where I had to look it up and go, man, I'm glad I wasn't alive for more than half of that.
Yeah, so it's like even if Marino wasn't on the Dolphins, he was on another NFC team, it also he had to be on the right NFC team.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be Joe Montana's successor. That's not happening in 83. He's got to be on the Cowboys, but that's still the Landry teams that are eventually going to crater in the early 90s. So, it's a little bit different. I think the comparison I always go to is, what if the AFC East doesn't change? What if Tom Brady all of a sudden has Peyton Manning in his division and those two are going back and forth every year for the AFC East? I think that's where, luck for both of them, they kind of had to avoid each other and only played the once and they didn't play each other in the division. It allowed the Patriots for the early part of that rivalry to really dominate, have home field advantage and such.
Oh, God, I was alive for half of this.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Wednesday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Bills head coach Sean McDermott expected to be speaking with the media here any moment. Our own Sal Capaccio at Sal Sports will have you covered on that. We're hoping to get some sort of injury news for the likes of Trey White. Sal mentioned Christian Benford as well. The last time they all saw, the Bills out at practice, Christian Benford was standing off to the side. But for tomorrow, we will get the NFL season underway with the Thursday night opener, Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is the first time the Eagles have been at home to start the year since like 2019.
Ooh, interesting. And I guess,
I think it's been that long. And then I heard Sal Palantonio of ESPN, he mentioned too, Eagles haven't hosted Dallas to open up a season since like 1970. So there's a lot to this. I mean, of course, it's a banner-raising night for Philadelphia. But then also, it should be a bit of a blowout. I've got FanDuel up right now. Right now. And, of course, this is following the Micah Parsons trade and all that stuff. The Eagles sit at 8.5-point favorites against a division rival to open up the season.
Have 8.5-point favorites. Have fun, Jerry.
That's tough. And they they've signed a lot of guys over the last few days. They signed their fullback. They've signed Darren Bland to a deal. Like Jake Ferguson. It was just Parsons. Now tomorrow night too. We mentioned the Super Bowls for a long time weren't very good games. We've had some good openers here the last few years.
We have.
I do not think this is going to be one of them. I think it's going to be bad.
I think having Dallas there is interesting.
Very quickly, many of us will be asking, where's the college game?
Where's the college game?
There is none tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Oh, they know NFL's king, don't they?
I'm sorry, yeah. The next game is going to be on Friday. That's when the week starts. I'm sorry. So get ahead of everybody. Yeah, get ahead of everybody.
Give me my Maction for that. I need a backup. Nope, I don't want to. I'm going to cross my arms and go, I ain't doing it. I don't want to.
So on this game, though, the Eagles really developed a bit of a super team feel by the end of the year, even though they almost lost to the Rams.
Right.
And they had moments last year where they didn't look super comfortable. Hurts for like a month, couldn't even throw for 200 yards.
Nick Sirianni used his kids as a shield in a press conference after a win against Cleveland where they looked very shaky against Deshaun Watson.
But on that, have they become that feeling? Like, is that legitimate, do you think, that they might be looking at a dynastic run here, at least back-to-back?
That is the perception, and I think that it's a lie. They very well could do it, but I don't see them as this juggernaut. They have a great roster around them. But they've proven to be human too.
Mm-hmm.
They got hot at the right time. And even then, like you had just mentioned, though, it still almost didn't happen. It was almost an NFC Championship game between the Rams and the Commanders. And people have very short memories when you're beating the absolute tar out of the Chiefs.
And
people have very short memories because it is the Chiefs that they are putting a smackdown upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to remember, but it's easier to forget, especially when someone that you hate is on the receiving end of an ass whooping.
Yep. That'll do it for us today. Coming up, as I've mentioned, Sabres Live, but a reminder, and we've done a lot of it today, getting connected to our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Sabres Live coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.